who have wisdom. And some of them develop it. And we have seen how that wisdom is progressive, and we have seen the different rivers of wisdom. This morning we want to look at how we can develop in wisdom. Wisdom and intelligence, what the world calls intelligence, can be developed. There are certain conditions that are necessary. And we want to look in the Bible and see how some of those wisest men in the Bible, among the wisest people in the Bible, people who had demonstrated wisdom, like Joseph, Daniel, and David, and of course Solomon, and who had developed different degrees of wisdom, we want to see how they managed to grow in that wisdom and, by God's grace, apply those same principles in our life. The book of 1 Samuel, and we see and hear about David for the first time in chapter 16. Now David began his life as a simple country boy. He was merely a shepherd, but a good shepherd. Within a period of perhaps one decade, 30 to 40 years, and in his life, he has grown from a shepherd boy to one of the richest kings in his generation. You could be a shepherd boy and be a king and not be able to maintain it or flow in it, because the responsibilities of a king are more than a shepherd boy. So he needs wisdom. He needs the Lord's grace and deposit in his life. How did he get it? From where? We have to trace his roots. So 1 Samuel chapter 16, in verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. And lower down, it tells us in verse 18, one of the servants of Saul answered and say, "Look, I seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and most of all, and the Lord is with him." And verse 23, "And so it was, whenever the Spirit from God, or allowed by God," the Hebrew says, "was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand, then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him." Now David had a special inclination. If there's one mark of David, if you had met him when he was right at this point in 1 Samuel 16, you will recognize a particular development about him. There are many things that say that they are very nice about him. But behind all this, that's what I want to show here. Behind all the development is David's musical taste. Why are we talking about music? Whether you're one who appreciates it or not, whether you play or not, every one of us encounters music in life. See, music has been born in God. In fact, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you are filled with music. You are filled with songs of praise. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And that's not just a verse for the choir leader or for the musicians. It's a scripture verse for every born-again believer. Music was born and birthed in God because music symbolizes harmony. Today's music out there in the world are not as harmonious today as God's music. But music is birthed in God. In heaven, music and worship never ceases. It enhances an important aspect of what I call intelligent development. God's heavens are filled with music. It says that all creation worship Him. See, even the atoms are constantly oscillating. There is always movement and harmony. All creation needs harmony. All creation has a movement, and when the movements are in harmony, you have perfection. When the movements are in disharmony, laws of God are broken, that's where we say sin comes in. The word sin means imperfection, falling off, short of the mark. And in observation, David, it is one outstanding thing in his life, was that he was a worshipper of God. So it happens that he plays a harp too. But out of that flow that David had upon his life, he has tremendous wisdom that were beyond his age and years. And let's point here to the book of 1 Samuel. In chapter 18, verse 14. David behaved wisely in all the ways, in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. Wisdom was a mark in his life. When he was passing the plans to Solomon, it says here in 1 Chronicles, let's read one more scripture, chapter 28, we see here now that little shepherd boy, grown up as a man, no knowledge particularly of what you would call architecture or craftsmanship. But he's the same one who received this plan from God in chapter 28, 1 Chronicles 28. And it says in verse 11, then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasuries, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat. And the plans for all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, of all the chambers all around. Now, in order to develop what we call wisdom and grow in wisdom, we have to first position our spirit. True wisdom comes from God. Jesus is wisdom personified. If our spirits are cut off from God, according to the Bible, darkness reigns. The minds of men have darkness because it is cut off from God. And our spirit needs to find its rightful place. It's just like a person who is very anxious, who is full of worry, anxiety about their future, about their life, about their income, about their security. Anxious and anxiety reigns in their life. What's going to happen is their mind is going to be so preoccupied with all these things that their mind is no more free to receive the wisdom that is from God. And every time we sin, fall into sin, darkness comes into our life and affects a part of the wisdom of God flowing through. We acknowledge that all wisdom comes from God. So the most important thing is to learn to keep that river flowing. Wisdom is the river. And we want to keep that river flowing. It's not our intelligence, it's not our wisdom or smartness or IQ, etc. The important thing is to learn to keep that river of wisdom flowing. And one of the primary keys of keeping that wisdom flowing is in the worship of God. The Bible calls praising and worshiping God and giving thanks His will in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, it says, give thanks, worship God, be a worshipper of God, and let our spirit be placed right where it is. And as long as the spirit is positioned correctly, we're going to tap onto the wisdom of God. The development of wisdom depends a lot on music because of its harmonizing ability that it imparts into our spirit, our soul, and our body. It will be just like a radio receiver. If you turn the radio to the wrong channel, you cannot receive a broadcast signal because it's out of synchrony. You're out of tune. Music and worship sends our spirit into the right tune. Before God can use us, like we used to sing the song, Lord, make me an instrument of worship. Right? We want God to make us an instrument. Before He can use the instrument, He has to tune the instrument. We need to be tuned. And when you tune, you have to take the object that you're tuning to compare with what you call the standard tune. If you're tuning a guitar or a piano, you have to know in yourself what the C sound is like, and then from there you adjust the piano. Or sometimes people, you know, who are expert tuners, they hear and they know. At other times they use instruments that will measure exactly how much in discord it is. So if an instrument is out of discord, God cannot play a song through it. God's wisdom cannot be written forth through it. And so music, number one, helps our spirit get in tune with God and tap on that river of wisdom. Secondly, music has an effect on what we call our soul. There's nothing that soothes the distressed soul more than music. As you see here in King Saul's life, it was a distressing spirit. I could imagine once in a while he gets into this fit. It's possibly a fit of depression, a fit of anxiety that will make him do irrational things. So serious that all the king's people could not help him. And so one of them recommended and said, hey, we have a solution. Get a musician. A musician will calm you. And so they found David. And every time there was a distressing spirit, it was not possessing Saul, it was oppressing Saul. And Saul's mind would go haywire all over the place. And his emotions would turn upside down. Music puts it back.